Our gospel reading in which this sermon is taken from is finally a Christmas story. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Matthew wrote these words. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of the Lord. That story, that scripture, that passage is on page one of the first book in our New Testament, Matthew's. It was important to Matthew to point out, but it was after he had listed the genealogy of Christ going back to Abraham. Because he wanted to connect, and he needed to connect Jesus and Joseph to the house of David to fulfill the prophecies from Isaiah and the Psalms that we read earlier. Now, one of the things that we do as Christians in the 21st century that they did not do in the first century so much was we combine those stories and we read them. And this story is, that's it. Now, next week we'll read about the wise men. But in this story, there is no inn. There's no cave. There's no sheep. There's Jesus and Mary and Joseph and an angel. And Matthew makes that point because he's speaking directly to Jewish people. Unlike Luke, who's speaking to the Gentiles, the people who did not grow up so much with the Jewish faith, Matthew knows that God's people listen to angels. They have been in the Bible, in the Old Testament, from the very beginning. They have told people things to do, and they have done them. In fact, you may remember that Joseph's namesake, his father, which is Jacob, wrestled with God one time. And there are numerous other times that angels speak and are part of the scriptures. So I just ask that you hear this story like it's the very first time that you heard it, instead of the 32nd thousand time that you've heard it. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place this way. Matthew calls Jesus the Messiah in the very first sentence of his birth statement. This is not to prove that Jesus was the Messiah to Matthew. Matthew knew that. He believed it. He wanted other Jewish people and us to believe that Jesus also was the Messiah. And to do that, he had to connect Joseph and Jesus to David. Mary and Joseph were engaged, which is a much more formal arrangement back in the first century than it is today. You were actually married, but you didn't live together. And she had become pregnant. She was found to be child. I'd like to be in on that conversation. She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, that's an extraordinary pregnancy. And some people have found it hard to believe that Mary could have been pregnant with child by the Holy Spirit. You only can believe that if you do not believe that God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants in our world. Now, we had a president who believed that it was hard for the miracles in the Bible to happen. And that president published a Bible where he cut out all the miracles. His name was Thomas Jefferson. So this is not new. We, since science became important, have had trouble in the Western world understanding that God is not of our world because he made our world. He is in our world and outside our world, and we can't figure that out because you can't prove that in a laboratory. We don't have to prove it in a laboratory. So in a main question of this whole passage is God capable of doing miracles? And there are only two answers. Either yes, he is, or no, he isn't. And Matthew and I believe that God is capable of doing whatever he wants, whenever he wants. It's just not when we think he should do it. And so we have doubts. But yes, God is capable of miracles. And Joseph was a righteous man. He was right with God, which meant he could have, according to the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, divorced her by giving her a letter in front of two witnesses that says, "You're divorced." Okay, and she would have been out and had to go back home, and Joseph could have probably got the dowry back and did all those things, and he would have been perfectly legal about it, but maybe not compassionate, and those are two different things. And angel of the Lord in a dream. And since Freud, we don't always like to say that we even dream, let alone I can understand what I dream. But in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, dreams are important ways that God talks to us. And he said, the angel said to Joseph, first he calls him the son of David because he was in the family tree through his father's side of the house of David. And he says, as almost every angel does in a dream or when you see him in person, "Do not be afraid." I guess we'd all be afraid. And he said, the angels say that a lot. "Do not be afraid. And take Mary as your wife, for the child that she has conceived, that has been conceived in her, is from the Holy Spirit. And you are to name that Son, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that is Matthew's way, and God's way, and Matthew reports it, that God is telling the Jewish people from the very, very beginning, this is not the Messiah that Isaiah has been talking about for 500 years. This is not the Messiah that everybody thinks is going to be here. Because in this scripture that I read from Isaiah, which foretells the birth of Messiah, he is specifically going to conquer two kings that are going to be attacking Israel. Jesus does not attack the Roman Empire. He co-opts it. They become Christians, but he does not attack them. And for a lot of the Jewish people that wanted them to be overthrown from being the rulers of Palestine and Judea, that meant Jesus was not the Messiah, because he did not come riding on a white horse with a big sword. But Matthew says from the beginning, his job is not to overthrow the Roman Empire. His job is to save his people from their sins. And that's a whole different, and it takes a whole New Testament to explain that. But that's a different job title than what everybody had thought for 500 years before Jesus' birth. There's a lot of angels in this whole Matthew story. Five times in chapter 2, which comes right after here, he talks about angels. The Magi are warned by angels. Joseph is warned to take Jesus and Mary to Egypt. Joseph is informed that Herod has died and he can go back. And Joseph is sent to Galilee instead of going back to Bethlehem in a dream by an angel. So this dream that Joseph had is not unusual for Joseph's story. It was the way that God talked to him. And this all took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That's what the Greek version of the Hebrew Bible says. Earlier, I read what the Hebrew Bible says, which says young woman. Didn't say anything about a virgin. Just says a young woman. And we can talk about that like they've talked about it for the last 2,000 years. Is that important? I don't think it makes a beans bit of difference, but it is something that people argue about. It was so important in the Presbyterian Church that in 1910, it was one of the five things that you had to declare before you could become a pastor. And there were five. And one of them was Jesus was born by the Virgin Mary. That's how important that was. And that's where the word fundamentals comes from. And fundamentalist is right from our church. Because we wanted people to know those five fundamentals. And one of them was Mary was a virgin. But I don't think it made a bit of difference to Matthew. He just read the Greek version of the Hebrew Bible. And he'll name him Emmanuel. Now earlier it says he's going to name him Jesus. Now they're going to name him Emmanuel 500 years earlier. And that's kind of a title. The title was God with us. And that's what Jesus is. Emmanuel. God with us. Born as a baby, grown to a full man, but always God. Even as he emptied himself to become human. And Jesus says, almost as he is ascending into heaven, I will be with you until the end of the age. Same words. God with us. So that was both the promise of his birth and the promise of his coming the second time, which is why it's part of Advent. Now, let's go back to the first part of this. We all know, and we say it out loud, that Joseph was not the father of Jesus. So how could Jesus be the son of David through Joseph? Joseph adopted him. He did it by the simple reason that in the Jewish culture, if you named your son, you claimed him for your own. There's a great scene in The Lion King where they hold the baby up and he names it. Think of that. He named it. He claimed him for his own. And so legally, Joseph was Jesus' father. And we know that he taught him from other gospels how to be a carpenter, because that's what you did back in those days. Fathers taught their sons. And so that's how that works. Jesus is Joseph's son through adoption. And that's not unusual either in the New Testament. We are God's people through adoption. That's what the Apostle Paul writes in the whole letter of Romans. That's why it's written and we talk about Romans today. Because it's the same process. Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah of the Jewish people. And because we believe in him, we are adopted into that same class of chosen people. Just like Jesus was Joseph's son. So it's a neat little story. It's all wrapped up. That's what I love about the Bible. So as we go through this last week, next Tuesday's Christmas Eve, and we'll light the middle candle of Advent for the coming of Christ. Remember that all of Advent is about hope and peace and love and joy. And all of those words are in this story. The hope that Jesus will come. The peace that he offers us. The love that God shows us through his son. And the joy that we should know because we are the adopted people of Christ. Amen. And hallelujah. And now we're going to sing...